Hey y'all, hey, and welcome to another episode of the Piece by Piece podcast. I hope that everyone is doing well, prepping for the new year, whether that is decluttering, organizing, making plans with your family, whatever the case may be, taking down those Christmas trees, because I have yet to take mine down. But just wanted to come on here with a word for I really want to say my single peoples, but I feel like it relates to any and everyone, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you are in a relationship, whether you are dating, whatever the case may be. And this week has been a very rough week for me. And I did something that I'm very surprised at. I've never been a point the finger, point the finger, point the finger. I'll say they did this to me. Why did you hurt me? Like X, Y, and Z. But with this situation, I've taken a different approach to figure out what were some things that I saw that I chose not to see or I chose not to address, for fear of an argument, a fight, whatever the case. I also think through what are similarities in situations and previous relationships, friendships, that you notice that they're becoming a pattern. And with them becoming a pattern, all of these things are ending the same way. So I have legit had I want to say six, and I'm trying to count in my head without like saying names out loud, but one, two, three, four, five. I'll say five relationships and one situation that they all ended the same way. And for a long time, y'all know I love Monica, right? Y'all know like Monica is like, that's my auntie in my head. The song, Why Her? And I always sat and thought about that song. Like, you gotta have guts to like write something like that. But it's transparent as fuck, right? You get in a situation, something goes wrong, something doesn't work, and you're sitting here wondering why her, or not even the why her, like you may not be concerned with another person, you're concerned, or now you're feeling as though like, what about me? Like, what did I do? What, why wasn't I fully enough, or why didn't I X, Y, and Z, whatever. And I think that I've come to terms with knowing that there isn't anything wrong with me. We all have our flaws. We all have the couple screws loose. We may not be working with a full deck, whatever the case. But our flaws, the good things and the bad things about us, they make up who we are as a person, right? And ultimately, we all find someone, or they find us, that is willing and able to maneuver those things with us on the good days and the bad days and all the days in between. But that all leads to me having a conversation with a friend and really going back to reevaluate what I want in a partner. And because obviously, you know, we all grow, we change, we become different people, we grow into different people. Our taste in men and women changes, our taste in foods change, our taste in our clothing, our attire, hairstyles, how you like your nails to get done, like all of these things change. So why wouldn't your taste in men change? And not necessarily the physical attributes, but things that you were okay with as a teen or in dating, I'm pretty sure you're not okay with in your marriage or your relationship, unless you just always had it together. And some people have. I aspire to be you. But, and that wasn't the full piece. The other piece of it was, what is Ebony doing to match what she is asking for? And for a while, it was just like, but I'm dope. And this is something fairly new because I typically don't praise myself, but I'm learning to walk in this light of knowing that I'm dope, I'm awesome, I'm amazing, right? But Ebony's still a little fucked up. Let's be honest, right? So in thinking of all of these things that I want in a partner, I want my partner to be patient. I want him to be family oriented. I want him to be masculine. I want him to create a space that allows me to be feminine, that allows me to be soft, that allows me to be vulnerable. I want him to be a helpmate as well, because we all know that helpmates don't just come in the form of a wife, right? I want my husband to be submissive to me. And for those of you that are like, wait, a husband can't be submissive, your husband can be submissive to you, which allows you to lean into your submission even more. And I'm not talking submissive like making your plate or X, Y, and Z. Submissive to the point that he is willing to do what you need him to do, what you need him to be, in order for you to do your job for your family accordingly. Another episode for another day. But I started thinking about all of these things, and I had to retract, because I thought about, I'm asking for a husband that allows me to be submissive and soft and vulnerable. But if given that space, am I truly going to use it to its fullest capacity? Am I going to feel ashamed when I cry in front of him? Am I going to be open enough to let my hair down, let him see me in the ugly stages? And that's emotional, that's physical, that's mental. If I'm asking for him to be masculine, am I going to ask for help? Not, oh, I want a masculine man that is willing to change my tire, take my car to put gas in it, take my car to get oil changes, work with my son who's a teenager, and sometimes I'll be ready to throw in the towel, but asking my mate, hey, can you take my car? You know what I mean? Asking for help. There's no point in having a helpmate or a masculine man if you want to allow him to be masculine. Wanting him to be family oriented, and we're spending time with, now we're going to his auntie house for this, and his mama house for this, and this person's house for this, and X, Y, and Z. Like, I asked for a family oriented man. Yes, we do our own family things and our own family dynamics, but knowing that he comes from, you know what I mean? So I had this list, and obviously the list is way longer than that, but for every item on that list, I needed to match something within myself so that when I am blessed with this person, I'm able to be in a space where he does not like so you pray for me and you weren't even ready for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I do know that over the past, I want to say 4 years, since my last real relationship in 2018, that I have done a lot of self-work. I have done a lot of things to be transparent. I have gone back to therapy. I finished my master's, and within finishing my master's in mental health, I learned so much about myself. Back working with kids, teenagers, and realizing where I was and why I did a lot of the things that I did as a teenager. Journaling more, reading more. Working with my children and seeing that by me raising them differently, what the expectation has become when they begin to date. And I've done so much work again over the past almost five years. And at one point I was ashamed to say this, but I still have so much more to do. I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface of where I'm supposed to be. Am I healing? Yes. Have I grown? Yes. Have I uncovered some layers off this onion? Definitely. But I also know that I'm nowhere near to the core of the things that I need to be unpacking and processing. Because one day a situation may come up where I'm thinking about abandonment and X, Y, and Z, and I'm fighting that self-sabotage in a relationship of, thinking that someone is going to leave me. So what Ebony gonna do? Ebony gonna pack her shit and she gonna leave first. You're not leaving me. I'm gonna leave you, right? And another day, it may dealing with the daddy issues of not knowing the expectation of what I deserve from a man because my dad never showed me that. Another day, it may be dealing with the mommy issues of she never really taught me how to be a woman and to be submissive and to be vulnerable and to be soft. She taught me how to be independent, how to get it yourself, don't wait on nothing, don't ask nobody for nothing, right? So every day might be something different, but I've never spent, and maybe I have, I'm not sure, I haven't spent a week dealing with my abandonment issue. I haven't spent a week unpacking my grief. I haven't spent a week unpacking all of these daddy issues. And I do think that this is something that is keeping me at a standstill from completing this book, because there's so many lessons in themselves that I'm just stuck. And I know for a while, me being a mental health professional and me going to therapy, shame on me that I was at a place where I just thought I was good to go. I thought everything was great. I don't need therapy no more. I still around shorty, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I had to step back and like, you didn't consistently go to therapy. You know what I mean? So now, putting myself in the position for the next 6 months, I need to be in therapy once a week. At the end of that 6 months, I'll evaluate now, can I move to bi-weekly? Can I move to monthly? Can I move to on an as-needed basis, along with Bible study and yoga and some other things that I need to incorporate into my consistent daily / weekly life, right? And upon doing those things, there was so much that came out of this list that a friend told me to write. She's like, and it came about because someone was like, oh, well, you just need to start dating people that aren't your type. And that makes no sense to me, because why date someone that's not your type, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever the case, dating someone that's not your type can turn into you hurting them because they're not really what you wanted, even though they're, you know what I mean, they're good to you. Now you've hurt a person who was genuinely a good, kind-hearted soul, right? And because you've hurt them, now they're going to go out into the world and they're going to hurt somebody else, because we all know that hurt people hurt people. So I don't want to date outside my type. So she's like, okay, I agree that no, you don't need to date outside your type, but reevaluate your last couple of relationships. Reevaluate the men. Put them side by side. Look at their characteristics. Look at the pros and cons of each of those people. Look at the reasons why each of those relationships ended. Red flags that you've seen. And put them side by side. And see if it's, maybe it's not the man, but it's the characteristics in the man. And did any of those things align with what you actually want? And I had to take a step back before I even wrote a list, before I even put anything on paper, before I even grabbed a notebook. And I knew, no. The last person that I quote unquote dated was more so my type, because we had the same idea, the community work mind frame, family oriented, like really wanting our children to be better, or really wanting our children's childhood to be better than what we experienced. Just different conversations, very transparent, very open conversations. Although it didn't work out, like I did realize that. So there are certain things that maybe they shifted on their own, or maybe it was just because I was still getting asked out on dates and different things like that. And just because I sensed things were like kind of awry, I was like, yeah, no, you know, I'm good. I'm okay. Versus, oh, let's just go out for the fuck of it. And then you end up in a situation for 2 years and you're like, what the hell, right? But really taking the time to evaluate, one, each of those relationships and figuring out what the hell, and two, what part did I play in each of those? Were there any actions that I displayed that caused those relationships to go awry? How do I do my self-work? Because I can't work on anybody else. And I can't tell nobody else about working on themselves until I've worked on me. I do know that going into any new situation moving forward, I need to voice Ebony's feelings, Ebony's wants, Ebony's needs, Ebony's boundaries, standards, non-negotiable before anything. Yes, getting to know each other. This is the time and place to do those things, and we typically don't because we're so much in this honeymoon stage and we have the heart eyes and the heart emojis that we're not thinking straight, right? And then when things end, it's like, damn. It's like, but he did it or she did it. But did you ever tell them this? And I'm very much flawed in that sense of I don't speak up until it's too late. And then when I end up getting hurt, it's just like, but they should have known. And it's like, but how? You know what I mean? So my biggest thing is, one, speaking up, moving forward in any situation. And I mean that in friendships, relationships, family dynamics, even co-parenting, about your standards, your standards, your boundaries, X, Y, and Z, and knowing that these are things that I'm standing on. Because people know, like, by now, I will say bye to anybody, blood related or not, 10 plus year friend or not. I have no problem. I am learning to love and be okay with being by myself. But knowing that Ebony needs to speak up more. And the second part of that is really looking at everything that I want in a mate and writing down things that I need to be doing to prepare for each of these qualities that I'm asking for, but also preparing myself to be a better woman. Not necessarily a wife just yet or a girlfriend just yet, but preparing myself to be all around better woman, right? I think that another one of my big flaws is that when I get into a relationship, I stop doing self-work. Or I stop, or not necessarily stop, but I pull back on my self-care, knowing that I still need to be falling in love with me. I still need to be building a relationship with me. I still need to be going to therapy to get my mental right, going to yoga to be physically fit, but also to, you know what I'm saying, to connect to something bigger than me. Going to Bible study to continue to build that relationship with God that's still very hard for me. I still need to be taking my kids out to dinner together and on separate occasions and building relationships with them. I still need to be spending time with family because when I've gotten my heart broken in previous situations, I shed all of that out. I wasn't getting my nails done. I wasn't going to yoga. I wasn't going to therapy. I was barely spending time with my children. I became so introverted that I lost, and I shared this before, I lost a lot of friendships because I don't want to be the person that burdens everybody with my problems. And just learning that self-care doesn't stop in the relationship. Self-care doesn't stop in the marriage. Self-care doesn't stop in the talking stage. Men are great at prioritizing their time to themselves. At least the men that I've met. But women, you could be on your way to yoga and he call and say, hey, let's come through, let's go to breakfast, da, 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 da. You can change your clothes. I'm going to breakfast with my man. Versus, oh, can we do it after yoga? You know what I'm saying? Like, if that man cares about you, he's going to want you to prioritize yourself. And every now and again, yeah, like, let me go hang out with my man. He may have had a hard day. He may just want to spend some extra time with you because y'all been both had busy weeks, both had a lot going on. If you're running your own business, whatever. So every once in a while, cool. But not getting to the point where you're throwing all of these self-care items away in order to please or appease someone else. So I went totally off track with what I planned on this episode to be. I think that you all get my drift. I'm still working to wrap up season 3. I'm really hoping that season 4 will be a combination of YouTube videos as well as podcast recordings. I'm still playing around with some stuff. I'm pretty sure I need a new laptop, but Yeah, I'm not sure when I will be back on social media. I know the last episode I said that I would be back on social media January 1st. It has been freeing to not be on social media. I think I deleted social media, I want to say the beginning of November. I got back on for a couple days before my birthday, and then I got back off maybe 2, 3 days after my birthday, and I've been off, and it's been just so freeing. I know that the holidays are all these engagements and all these, like, the comparison with who bought their kids more gifts and who had the bigger tree and da 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 da, ba, 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 and this and that, and I just couldn't handle that this year. So I just needed to advocate for myself and delete it for a while. I do still have my Snapchat, but I am not on there anywhere near as much as I was on Facebook and Instagram. I am on TikTok, but it's become a combination of building up my brand as well as like looking for other ways to get myself out across platforms. So yes, the funny jokes here and in between to send them to friends and different things like that, but using it for multi-purpose. So yeah, I thank you all for tuning in with me for another episode of the Piece by Piece podcast, and I will see you soon. Peace.